the world we live in. But I'm sure thankful for them law enforcement guys. It would be a bad place if we didn't have them. I mean, it's rough enough as it is with them, you know. You strip them away, you take their authority away.
They don't call it a thin blue line for nothing. It's a thin line. You take that thin line away and it's chaos.
You remove it, we in trouble. There's no doubt about it. Trying their best every day. Just think about this for a moment. This is a principle that the Word of God teaches us. Let me see. I just had it. I was looking at it just a minute ago. Wrote it yesterday, just sitting around thinking. Proverbs 27:2 says, Let others praise you and not your own mouth. A stranger and not your own lips. Now what that is saying, there's nothing wrong with giving them something to praise. Meaning we want to do good. We want to do the right thing. We want to do good works. We want to give them something to praise. But we don't want to toot our own horn. And there's a reason behind that. The scripture says in Proverbs 17:19, he who elevates his own gate takes the opportunity to belittle and look down on others. But what he fails to realize is that he inadvertently extends an open invitation to challenge him. And what he selfishly exalted above others when he tooted his own horn. Anytime you exalt your own gate, you elevate yours above everybody else's, it's an inadvertent invitation to say, come challenge me on that. Come try to prove me wrong on it. You don't have to invite them to come. It's just an automatic. The nature of men, when somebody elevates themselves or they elevate their things or they elevate their resources, they elevate their wisdom, they elevate their country, you start doing that, you can let other people commend. You give them something to commend. As soon as you start doing it as an individual, you are inadvertently inviting the rest of the world, and you're inviting other people to come challenge you on it. You're opening yourself up for an open duel. It just automatically, when you hear people do that, even people that you have a tendency to want the best for, you want to help, there's a sense that automatically wants to challenge that thought process. That's the nature of man. Now, you can restrain yourself from doing it, but other people won't that are going to say, well, I'm going to prove that joker wrong, that he's not as good as he thinks he is, or they're not as good as they think they are. It's just a principle that God's given. Don't elevate your gate. Don't exalt it above others. Let others commend you. You humbly point them back to he who gave you what he gave you. But don't toot your own horn. And that's what I had jotted down. You toot your own horn, some people will notice. Toot your own horn more often than not, people will hear you but rarely pay attention to you. Toot your own horn over and over again, somebody is going to accept your invitation to smash your high horn and shut you up. Just inevitable is what's going to happen. There's nothing wrong with doing good or great works. It's the right thing to do. So do good, be good at what you do. Give others something commendable and praiseworthy to work with, but let somebody else toot your horn. It will go much further, last a lot longer, and carry more weight than when you toot your own horn. It's just not the right thing to do. It's the noble and nice thing to do by just doing what's right. Just a matter of principle. And I think that's where our president gets himself in trouble a lot, is that, man, he toots his own horn too much. He toots our horn too much, per se. Man, just do what you do and let the rest of the world say, man, y'all doing it right. Y'all doing a tremendous job. Y'all are helping. Don't tell us how much you're helping everybody out. Let everybody else say how much you're helping everybody out.
It wouldn't take much for us as a nation to do good for the rest of the world to notice.
Exactly.
Because we've done so bad that the rest of the world don't either. They don't like us, or they ignore us.
Mm-hmm.
And so just to do a little good right now would go a long way.
Yeah. And there's good being done, but you don't have don't brag on your own good.
Yeah,
just do it. Just do it. Let others say how well you're doing, you know. And I think
would,
that...
And the world would.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, people would. Even people in the country would.
Yeah.
You know, would commend what's being done and how things are being done. But as soon as you pitch yourself above everything else and everybody else that's come before you, you're just setting yourself up. Somebody try to take your feet out from under you.
Yeah.
Every single time. And that's why you have this aim and this agenda to just constantly undermine, trying everything they can to find, I mean, just the slightest bit of fault. And you're going to find it. It's inevitable. That's just with everybody and everything. And these ideas, for an example, how they have all these indictments and these investigations on how has the president profited by being the president. Well, man, just turn it around on Congress and on Senate. Why in the world would NM be in what they're doing what they do, if it didn't have some kind of long-term profitability for them? Because they don't make much money to go through the junk they got to go through and the kind of money they spend on a campaign. I mean, why in the world would you spend up in the millions and millions of dollars to campaign for something if there wasn't some kind of much greater profitability? Exactly. Well, y'all give me something out of this book of Romans that just blessed you, that's going to help you. Help us.
There's a lot.
Whoo, man, is there a lot. This is a mountainous, take you up to heaven book. Bring heaven down to us book, huh? Of course, we're up to chapter 10. But
yeah.
Anywhere you've been reading, if you got something.
I think that today's reading is faith hearing the word. 10:17.
Mm-hmm.
When faith comes by hearing,
yeah,
and hearing by the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So that is so important for us to comprehend that A, we got to be the one saying something to somebody before they can hear it, and B, we got to be listening to somebody when they've got to say, when the preacher's got something to say, or somebody else has got something to say. We got to be hearing the word. We've got to be the hearer and the speaker too.
Mm-hmm. You know, throughout this book, we've noticed time and time again. I don't know if your translation italicized like yours does. See, all that is Old Testament quotes. That's pulled from the Old Testament. You see throughout this letter that Paul wrote to Rome, he's grabbing scripture from the Older Testament and saying that this is what's built this, where we are. What Christ did was in fulfillment to all these things, and these things give us revelation. They're a report from God. Notice how he says this in chapter number 10, when he says in verse number 14, let's just start there, verse number 14. It goes back to what Brother Shannon is saying. How then shall they, that would be the sinner, that would be the Jew, the Gentile, that would be any of us, which he's already mentioned in verse number 12, for there is no distinction between Jew or Greek. Right. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, logically then, Paul says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not heard or believed? You can't call on somebody you don't believe. The only way to call on the Lord is you got to believe the Lord. You wouldn't call on the Lord to save you if you didn't believe in the Lord.
Hey, you don't believe you need saved.
Right. And then he says, the next thought, well, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? You're not going to believe in him if you've never heard of him.
Right.
You got to hear of him to believe in him. And then when you trust him, you believe in him. But you got to hear. And how shall they hear without a messenger, a preacher,
right,
which we all qualify. We're all qualified, yeah, preachers when you come into the kingdom. That's just saying we're missionaries, as Brother Shannon's pointing out. They've got to hear a word, and that word they hear has to come from somebody who's been sent with a word. Right. So we got to hear a word to go give a word.
Right.
And to receive a word, we got to hear a word.
And on a continuous basis.
Yeah, this is a way of living.
No,
this is a way of living. Yeah. And he says in verse 15, and how shall they preach unless they are sent?
Yeah.
So Paul is in this. He's reducing it down to a point. He's getting to a point of basically saying that, one, people will never believe in Jesus if they have never heard of Jesus. People will never hear of Jesus if nobody ever tells them about Jesus. And nobody will tell anyone about Jesus if no one's been sent to tell them about Jesus.
Right.
And this is that cycle. We talked about it before. What's the aim or the agenda of the church? What's God called us to do? To reach people for Jesus, to teach people about Jesus, to equip people to serve Jesus, and to mobilize the missionaries to go with Jesus. That is, we have a message to go forth to reach people. Those we reach, we teach. Those we teach, we equip. Those we equip, we mobilize to what? Just go. Go tell the story. That's how God works.
And I was reading also in Ezekiel 37. It mm-hmm. says, to make a great army.
Mm-hmm.
This is the great army out here.
Took those dry bones.
Gave them life.
Made an army out of it. Yeah.
If you could look at our spirit before we were saved, our body was a dead, dry bone.
We were dead to God.
And more just dead. And now we are alive
to God in Christ.
To make a great army.
Yeah, and he's our king. We're not looking for a physical kingdom in the sense that he's going to reign. The kingdom of God comes within us.
Right.
It's through the gospel that we enter into the kingdom of God. And then that kingdom is expanding. He's going to establish it. He's going to set it up. He's going to rule it. He's going to be the executor of it. He's going to rule it in righteousness and justice. And that the zeal of the Lord of hosts is going to see all this take place. But he does it in and through and with his people.
Yeah.
And that's where verse 15 says, how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings, good news of good things. That peace is only found in Jesus.
Amen.
He's reconciled us to God. We were at enmity. We were enemies. We were hostile, separated from him. But the message that we preach is that in Christ's sacrifice, God has dealt with our judgment and wrath because of his sinless and obedient life. God declares us righteous based on his life. And he's made peace with us through Jesus. And through his blood, we've got forgiveness of sin. We go tell the world that. Well, they wouldn't know it unless we go tell it.
Well, see, that example of Ezekiel is God asked him, he says, can these bones come alive? And he says, well, you know. And he says, go prophesy to them. Go preach to the dry bones.
Yeah.
And when he did, they started to come alive.
Yeah.
Now, we had to have some breath of life to come into them.
God breathed on them.
But still...
And that's what happens in salvation. God breathes on us and gives us life from within. Not from without, but from within.
Yes. And just like in the Old Testament here, in the New Testament, is backing it up. It says that there was somebody that went and preached or prophesied to
proclaimed the word of God.
The word of God to these dry bones.
Goes back to when he says, you know. Very similar. Remember when the disciples asked Jesus, who in the world can be saved?
Yeah.
And Jesus said, with man, with those bones,
it's
impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Just go tell them. The command is in the Word.
Yeah.
That's where the authority and power is at, in the Word of God. Not our Word, not just any Word, but the Word God's proclaimed. There is power and authority for life in that Word.
Yeah.
And he goes on to say in verse 16, but they have not all obeyed that message, that good news. So logically, as a result, Isaiah asks, for he says, Lord, who has believed our report? Remember, Isaiah was a preacher, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And whatever he preached, he was reporting what God said.
Right.
The same word report is the same word hearing. That exact same word. Lord, who is who has received our report? So then, he says in verse 17, faith comes by a report.
Yeah.
And that report comes by what?
The word of God.
The word of God. So what is the hearing that he's referring to? We have heard the report of God. The news. God has reported his news.
Yeah.
And we in faith believe what he reported. And when we believe what he reported, it transfers life to us. Grace in Christ adds the quality of life of God in us. He adds his life to us, eternal life to us, when we believe his news, when we hear the report. So, Brother Shannon, that's what he's saying. The word hearing is a report. What did we hear? We heard the report of God. What did God report? That we can have peace with him through one solution.
Yeah.
Through his answer. And his answer is his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived sinless and blameless and became a substitute for us to take upon our wrath upon the cross. And by his sinless and blameless righteous life, God then takes and credits his life to us when we trust his report. So faith comes by a report, and that report comes from God. We're just taking the report God gives us. What God says, we believe. And faith doesn't focus in on if I'm believing right. Faith doesn't focus on if I'm doing this right. Faith gets so enraptured with the news God gave you, it's more about him than it is about us. See, the law makes everything about us. That's why Romans chapter 7, Paul says, Mama Rob says she counted them up the other night, 38 times the word I, or me, my. Why? Because the law inevitably makes us focus in on us, when we do in wrong or when we do right. When we do right, you know what we want to do? Pat ourselves on the back and say we did it better than that man. When we do it wrong, we condemn and shame and guilt, and we didn't do it as good as that man. But the focus is always on us under the law. But with faith, the focus is enraptured with God. You are caught up in him and what he's reported, not yourself. And it's not about us anymore. It's all about him. That's the answer of faith. Because he tells us in verse number 8, look in chapter number 10. Notice what verse 6 says. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. It doesn't ask the question, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? Who's going to do something?
Right.
That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will ascend to the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. That's saying that man takes matters in his own hands. Who's going to do this? That's not what the righteousness of faith says. What the righteousness of faith says is this. Verse number 8. For what does it say? The word of the Lord is where? Near you. Where is it? It's in your mouth. Why? It's in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's not that I got to raise him from the dead, I got to get him from the dead, or anybody else has got to get him. What man does, faith says, God's done it all. God's done it. He's taken care of this. And I believe it in my heart, and the mouth is just a confession of a surrendered heart. And that I believe and trust God. I believe his report. He's taking care of all this, and my life rests in him now. I believe it. I trust him. It's not what we can do. It's not what we can't do. It's not what somebody else can do. It is what God has done on our behalf for His glory, and I trust it and I believe it. And that's where that freedom and liberty comes in to set us free to follow after Jesus. And that's what he said. It's a report. It's a report.
Right.
I mean, how many of y'all watch the news?
Mm-hmm.
Little as you can.
As little as possible, yeah. I just...
You think...
It'll
frustrate you. Yeah, it'll frustrate you. Those things are the push. Is to mock authority.
Yeah.
Mock relationships. And that this new world agenda is better than anything God has ever said. We see that over and over again. But you know, what normally gets reported on the news, most people take it and believe it. Even when they disagree with it, even when they don't like what's being reported, even though it stirs up an anger in them and gets them roused up, because they believe that report. And oftentimes, because it's only natural to believe that report. We're talking about something supernatural here.
Yeah.
You can't just believe God's report in and of yourself. You're dead bones.
Yeah.
God's got to breathe that into you. And when that's breathed into you and you trust what He's revealed to you, man, you come alive. And you take His news and it doesn't create anger in you other than Him doing something where you know that your sin had to be justly dealt with, and Christ did that, so it frees you to rejoice and celebrate that you've been justified before God, and not that you're free to go do what you want. No, you've been united to Him now.
Yeah.
And your life is His life, whatever He has for you. And that's really the heartbeat of what Paul is getting to from what we're up to at this point in chapter number 10. He's been leading in. This has all been about faith. This has never been about the works of the law. It's no flesh can be justified by what man can do of himself. It's what God's done, and a man believes that news. And that's what faith, it's a report. God's reported on who He is, on the condition of man, on what He's done for us in Christ Jesus, and then calls us to put our trust and faith in Him. That's the news of God. That's His report. Amen? Amen. It sets you free. All right, Keith, close with a word of prayer, brother.
Father God, thank you, Lord, that we can come in here. We can talk about your word, Lord.
Yes.
You can give us insight. Lord, just thank you for loving us. Thank you for your grace upon us, Lord. Go with us now, Lord. Let us hear
your
word. Give us what we pray in Christ's name.
Amen and amen. Love y'all.